Warning, the following podcast may contain potential plot spoilers, but then again, it may not at all.
Hello and welcome to Potential Spoilers. I'm Kieran and I'm joined by Maddie D.
You maniacs! You blew it up! Damn you! Damn you all to hell!
Wow, that was loud.
If you didn't want to know that, then you shouldn't be listening to the show because that is a bit of monkey business. A little bit of monkey business, Kieran, here on the show, but also it's a spoiler.
It really is. It's one of the best spoilers that you've actually done for a while, and I don't think you've done it before. We've done so many episodes.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
No, we're getting so close to episode 300, so I'm always impressed that you can always pull something out every single episode.
I think I even did a spoiler on the Burton version, but not this one.
I think you might have, but yeah, never the original. Well, not this one. We haven't seen this movie yet. So just to fill everybody in, Manny D and I, well, I have seen all the trailers for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and we're here to predict as much of the plot as humanly possible. Manny D was just saying, as we started recording, what, there's more than one trailer?
Yes. I only found one trailer for this movie. I didn't know that there was, what, five?
There's at least five. So there's been two scenes that have been released. There is three official trailers, and there is a featurette, and then there's character trailers as well.
Oh, there's character trailers. Yeah, well, that's right. Really helpful.
It is.
I had a look and I was like, oh, great, one trailer. This is easy work today.
I don't know how you managed to miss the rest. Wow.
I don't know. I watched one trailer and then I watched another trailer, but it was the same trailer. I was like, oh, cool.
Okay.
Just one trailer.
So what happened was you watched the IMAX trailer and the Super Bowl trailer because they're the same.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Okay. All right. Okay. I can see where you got mixed up. Unfortunately, having watched more trailers than that myself, I don't think those trailers have a lot of information in them. Well, that trailer specifically, the Super Bowl / IMAX trailer, I don't think it has a lot of information, but do you feel like you have a fair idea of what's going to happen in this movie?
I think so. I think I got a little bit of a grasp of where it's going, but I'm very, very happy because you've watched all five trailers. I've watched one, but we're working together this episode,
It
doesn't matter.
It's become more of a standard thing. Matty D and I have sort of got at each other's backs these episodes.
Yeah.
Well, nothing's changed there, but we used to do separate plot predictions more often than we would do team-up episodes, so this is very much a new thing for us actually teaming up. But as we've said, week after week, over and over again, we're just at a stage in our lives at the moment where we just don't have time to do a lot of prep work before the episodes.
Yeah, life doesn't seem to be slowing down at all for either of us. But we still come here every week to give you predictions.
That's right. So let's start talking about Planet of the Apes, because there's so much that I want to talk about here. So, of course, the original movie was released in 1968 and is based on the 1963 French novel of the same name. And the film had four direct sequels and a remake in 2001, of course, being the famous Tim Burton Planet of the Apes. I guess we can talk about that in a minute or two. Now, of course, the series was rebooted in 2011, starting off with Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which was followed by Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War from the Planet of the Apes. Now, not to be confused with Battle for the Planet of the Apes, which was from, you know, that was a sequel to the original movie. Interestingly enough, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War for the Planet of the Apes were directed by Matt Reeves. Do you remember who that is?
Yeah, he was the Batman.
That's right. Well, he directed the Batman, and I think he wrote it as well. I believe he was involved with writing those two other movies as well. But that's an interesting connection to our show.
It is. It's a surprise. You wouldn't think about it looking at those two movies.
No, but it makes so much sense to me now, having, you know, seen Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. It makes so much sense because I'm like, it is very much in his style. Like, it does very much feel very similar to the Batman in a lot of ways, at least visually speaking. Less monkeys in Batman, of course. But anyway, so this leads us to the film that we're here to discuss today, which, of course, is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. But before we talk about it, Manny D, what is your history with the Planet of the Apes franchise? I guess more specifically, with this new rebooted franchise as well, this new rebooted Planet of the Apes series.
Sure. So, as far as my history with the Planet of the Apes is concerned, I never watched the original movies, but I watched them, I feel, through proxy. This has been a franchise that has been spoofed, parodied. Oh, it's a long day. Made fun of, you know. Yeah. And so, I've seen it through proxy. I watched the Tim Burton version, was the first sort of version of the Planet of the Apes I saw, and I remember watching it as a young person and seeing, like, and my reaction to it was, I don't get it. What's the big hype with this? I don't understand why this is so popular. I kind of thought it was bleh, so, but I didn't realize it was kind of a bastardized version of what the original source material was.
Well, I was going to say, if that's your impression of the Planet of the Apes franchise, that's a really bad... That's like, you know, getting your impression of the Godzilla franchise from the Matthew Broderick American 1997 or 8 one.
Yeah, which happened.
That did happen to you.
I guess I learned what the Planet of the Apes was through the Simpsons episode that covered the musical version of it.
A friend of ours very kindly informed me of that episode, so I've been caught up with it now.
Very nice, very nice.
I didn't watch The Simpsons growing up, so I completely missed that.
That blows my mind.
You know, I actually get references to things from the actual things themselves. Rather than The Simpsons.
There you go. What sort of 90s baby were you? 80s baby, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I was watching movies instead of watching The Simpsons, I guess.
Yes. So anyway, these new movies came out. I wasn't too big on them. I wasn't too really excited to see them. But I did see, I believe, the second movie in this.
Dawn, yep.
Yeah, Dawn. On a date, I actually went to drive-in movie theater.
Oh.
Look at the little romantic I am, right?
Yeah.
Took my girlfriend there and we watched Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. For a date night.
Yeah, interesting and choice of movie. I'm guessing you didn't pick it.
It was her choice, yeah. Yeah, she was like, oh man, I really want to see this movie. I remember thinking it was okay, but I didn't really love it, so I never really wanted to see anything else. I think I've seen bits of the third movie or fourth movie. They all kind of melt together.
Well, we're here to talk about the fourth one.
But the third movie then. But this is a franchise that's not near and dear to my heart. I don't really think much of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be seeing this movie if I didn't have to cover it on the show. But, you know, I hear it's
Tell
popular.
Us how you really feel.
Well, it's just not my thing.
Yeah, of course.
I came in late to the party, you know what I mean? So, I hear it's popular, though, so right on.
I feel like we've just been covering, like, a string of, what would you say, like, monster movies. I guess you could count this as a monster movie
in a way. I guess so. It's similar to a monster movie.
Yeah, well, we've got more CGI monkeys running around, and I think just for weeks now we've been talking about CGI monkeys, and we're back again, because last week, of course, we talked about Nope, which had a CGI monkey in that. I think it was the week before we talked about Godzilla Kong the New Empire, CGI monkey in that.
Yep.
And yeah, it's just, I feel like we're not leaving this well. There's another one. But yeah, my history with the Planet of the Apes movies, I've seen all of them at this stage.
Uh-huh.
There was a Planet of the Apes TV show, I believe, as well, but I never saw that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I watched the original 1968 movie first. And I remember thinking as like a, I think I was a teenager when I watched it. I remember thinking, oh, what I really want to see is like what led up to this point. Like what circumstances happened on Earth while, you know, these astronauts were away in space that that caused apes to actually evolve into, you know, having a similar intelligence to humans, if not a more superior intelligence to humans. Like, I want to see that movie. That's what I want to see.
Well.
And then, of course, it wasn't until Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, not Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, was it? Now I'm getting confused. Yeah, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Can we say these titles are ridiculous?
Yeah. Yeah, good luck remembering which one is which. Yeah. I know these remake movies pretty well, so I can pick them out in my head, but those original five movies.
So, do you mean the James Franco one?
Yeah, that's right. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Who else? John Lithgow was in it as well.
See, I remember it as the James Franco one, the one with sign language,
yep.
And the one with guns, but they had guns in the second one.
They had guns in all three films so far.
The one where they talk is the third one, right?
Yeah, they talk more, but they don't talk a lot. It's not like this movie, but anyway, we'll get to that. But yeah, I watched the James Franco version, and I'm like, this is exactly the movie I wanted to see. I think overall, as a movie, it was kind of cheesy and not 100% what I wanted. But I really, really liked the direction that they went in. So, it was like he was developing, James Franco's character was developing a drug to treat Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And he was testing it on Caesar the ape. They were testing it on all sorts of apes and simians. And that's what caused them to become more intelligent. That's what gave them the ability to start evolving. And I thought, like, I don't see how that would spread across the world unless they started breeding and it was carried through genetics. But like, oh, that's one good explanation. I also like in that movie, you get to see the astronauts going into space.
Yeah.
That they're eventually going to come back. Who knows when? But they are eventually going to come back at some point and be like, what the hell? And hopefully it's Charlton Heston, like a CGI Charlton Heston, since he's very much dead now. But the movie that I really liked and my favorite one in the whole series was the one that you saw on your date, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I really, really liked that movie. And it's, yeah, like I said, it's my clear favorite out of all of them. I think it's a genuinely good time. I've never seen War from the Planet of the Apes because I heard that it just wasn't as good. And it looked too similar to Dawn to me. Like, I was thinking, like, I'm not going to get really anything new from this one, I feel. So, I always avoided watching it. I was going to watch it for this episode and just never got around to it. So, I have not seen that one. I don't think I'm missing anything because this new movie is taking place 300 years after that movie. So, I don't need to connect any characters to that or anything from those other three movies.
It's a whole different world in this movie we're covering.
That's absolutely right. So, what do we know about this new movie so far?
I don't know if I'm the right person to answer that question, Kieran, but apparently we have 5 trailers. I've only seen one, but it seems like we're 300 years away from Caesar's reign. Humans have devolved to the point where they're running around sort of being scavengers, and the ape society has risen to new heights where they've sort of taken over. Seems to be a king called Caesar that's ruling. I guess we can discuss what sort of personality he is.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're trying to conquer more land, but more importantly, conquer the technologies that the human race had previously. Now, what this means, I don't know for sure, but I have theories. I don't know if they covered that in other trailers, but that seems to be the plot thread. And it seems like we have an ape that is a protagonist in this movie called Noah, I believe, that looks like he/she, I'm not too sure.
It's a guy,
befriends one of the humans from a sort of tribe of humans.
You presume.
I presume.
Yeah. Okay. That's very loosely the case, I think. I think what a lot of the things you said there are accurate, but I am seeing some details that you're not picking up on, but we can discuss all of those as we go. So, I do have the synopsis from the official website that I think we should cover.
Go for it.
So, it goes, Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the global epic franchise set several generations in the future following Caesar's reign. You said that. In which apes are the dominant species living harmoniously and humans have been reduced to living in the shadows. As the new tyrannical ape leader builds his empire, one young ape undertakes a harrowing journey that will cause him to question all that he has known about the past and make choices that will define a future for apes and humans alike. And as I said, that's from the official website. Does that clear things up a little bit? Not really.
Not really, no.
It doesn't really give us anything that Matty D didn't say. So, let's talk about who's in this movie. And as we like to do, as we go through, I think it's important that we talk about what impact each character is going to have. So, here's the thing. This makes it really easy for me, and it makes it really easy for Matty D. There's only 2 human characters so far credited in the movie. The rest are CGI apes, so we don't really need to talk about the actors in too much detail. The other thing as well, I only know 2 of the actors in this cast list. So, everybody else I'm not familiar with, so I can't really speak to them at all. So, playing the character of Noah, who of course is our lead ape in this movie, is Owen Teague. Now, from what we understand, he's a young chimpanzee hunter born nearly 300 years after Caesar's time. Now, we know he's the main character. Mm-hmm. We know that he's going on a journey, but what are your thoughts on what impact do you think he's going to have on the movie?
I think the movie's going to be about him befriending the human, realizing humans aren't as evil as maybe he was taught.
Well, I don't think they've ever been portrayed as evil. It's just they're the lesser species. So, right. Humans and apes have swapped places on the
But I guess this is an evolutionary allegory for racism, for slavery, for colonialism.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's him figuring out that there's more to humanity than
Here's a good question for
That's
you.
What I think, anyway.
Here's a good question, and my knowledge of the original movie is sort of escaping me now. Why do you think they're capturing humans in the first place? What use do you think they have for humans?
I kind of thought it was... I believe
they use them for like menial tasks, remembering that first 1968 movie.
I think it's going to be slavery, or I think maybe they need to clear an area and the humans are sort of there.
That could
maybe
be it too.
Maybe the humans have found something that they need.
He's going on the right track here.
That could be it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think also, I guess we'll talk about
it. I don't really have an answer, so.
Those are my sort of thoughts.
Yeah, I think those are all really, really valid.
We see in the trailer that they're kind of capturing them and enforcing them.
It's not like they're just going and killing them brutally. It's not like they're trying to wipe them out. They're capturing them for a purpose.
They'll use them like livestock, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I believe that too. Noah, so we understand that he's a hunter. Is he hunting for food? That would be my guess.
Yeah, I would guess that he's kind of in a group of apes that go out of their village and hunt for food. And I think he's going to come along the human tribe through one of his hunting endeavors.
I guess there are sort of tribes of humans, but they're not going to be that organized from my understanding.
We see them like at a watering, like at a lake or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I think he's going to come across them.
Yeah. So, Next up, let's talk about the character of May, who is being played by Freya Allen. Of course, everybody knows Freya Allen from the Witcher TV series on Netflix. I can't think of anything else that she's really been in, but she has been in other stuff. But yeah, so she is playing a feral young woman who joins Noah on his journey while having an agenda of her own. Ooh, interesting.
So I think the agenda is killing the king.
I definitely think that's part of it.
Yeah, that's my thoughts. But, you know, do you have any thoughts on that?
I have a lot of thoughts on that. So, one thing you'll notice about her straight away is that she's wearing normal clothes while all the other humans are wearing rags. So, she's not a part of any tribe.
Well, yeah. And they also say in the trailer that she's special. She knows more than the other
humans. She can speak English and she's not affected. But so, by the way, the reason that humans have devolved is because there's a virus that has affected their ability to learn. So, they can only develop up to about like the intelligence of maybe a 4 or 5 year old, humans that is, in this universe. But she's clearly special because she has been able to develop normally. So, I have theories. We can talk about it when we dive into the plot. I have theories on why this might be the case. And I also have theories on why she's important to the story and what her agenda might be and what she's trying to achieve. So, next up, playing the character of Proxima Caesar is Kevin Durand. Now, he is an ambitious bonobo monarch who leads a coastal clan of apes in search of human technologies. Here we go. That's a huge, important plot point.
Yes.
And they've never specified anywhere what exactly it is that he's after, but I think we have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, what do you think? Because I'm not too sure. I have some ideas. Like, it could be like a medicinal thing, or it could be-
I don't think so.
Like, they talk in the trailer about being able to fly. Could be that. What are your thoughts?
So, I think Proximus, his whole deal is he wants to advance the ape race. So, they're all sort of like in the Bronze Age, right? They're still- they haven't got to the stage where, you know, humans were when they had their downfall.
Sure.
So, I get the impression that he's looking to have, like, technological leaps forward.
Yeah.
But my big guess is that he's after guns. He's after weapons of war so he can expand out. He can expand out and take over the other tribes and just be the dominant ruler through force because he's learnt, like, this is how humans conquered other, you know, civilizations. I can conquer the world if I can get my hands on human weapons.
He would want something that gives him an edge. I guess the lazy choice would be a bomb or something like that. Or
just machine guns and ammunition. I
guess machine guns would work. Gunpowder, you know.
That was my favorite thing about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is when the apes learned how to use machine guns and they're just, you know, shooting at people. That was such a fun time for me. But anyway, yeah, so I don't know if you're getting this impression as well. I'm sure you have, but are you getting a lot of like Scar King vibes here?
Yes, I am.
It feels like exactly the same character.
I think he's definitely the antagonist for the movie, but I think maybe he's going to have a relationship with Noah that's going to be a conflict in the movie. Like he's going to seem like he, from Noah's perspective, like he's a good king, he's a nice guy, but he's doing all this bad nefarious things.
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with that. You think he's just going to be a flat, concrete, bad guy.
You haven't realized because you haven't watched all the trailers.
Yep.
Noah isn't even in the same like tribe as Proximus.
Right. Okay.
They're not related at all.
Okay. I thought they were, but I did see other tribes of monkeys, but in the trailer I saw it wasn't really clear cut.
Yeah. So you're missing a lot of details. You're missing a lot of details.
So. So they're in different areas. Okay. So he's the bad guy tribe then.
Yes.
So he's
going to- You'll also notice in the description they pointed out that he leads a coastal tribe of apes.
Right. So he's going to be the tribe that attacks Noah's tribe at some point.
Correct. You got it. We see this in the trailers.
Not the trailer I watch.
Exactly. So, I feel like I'm going to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting here. So
I'll be here for support.
So, I feel like you've got
to
like-
I'll be here to agree with your ideas.
Yeah, well-
I'll throw some things here and there, but yep, let's do it.
It sounds like you're on the right track anyway. So, you're just inferring things that I have confirmation on.
I have some powerful predicting powers.
Of course. So, next up playing the character of Raka is Peter Macon, who is a wise and virtuous orangutan who becomes an ally of Noah. This is something that happens in every single Planet of the Apes movie. There's always an orangutan who's always like the scientist or the intelligent one or the voice of reason. I guess because, you know, they're pretty docile, aren't they? I mean, I wouldn't want to fight one, but-
No.
That's always the-
Except they're docile except in Jungle Book.
That's true. With Louie.
Yep.
King Louie. I think it's pretty obvious who this character is going to be. Again, he's not connected with Noah's tribe. He's not connected with Proximus's tribe. He is sort of like, he's an outside source of wisdom.
Yeah.
He ends up teaming up with Noah and the two go on a journey together.
Giving advice, pointing him in the right direction.
And Raka is very knowledgeable, and he's able to fill Noah in on what like life was like before apes ruled the world.
Yep.
And what humans used to be like. Noah has none of this information, so he's only learning for the first time. Sounds like you agree.
I agree, yeah.
He's nodding like mad over there.
I even think he might be narrating this movie. There's a potential for that.
Possibly. Yeah, why not? Let's bring that
up. And I think he's also going to die at some point.
Yeah, that's a good prediction. I didn't even consider that. But yeah, it could be very dramatic if he is killed. Yeah, I like that. Let's definitely work that.
Why not?
Now, the last person I really wanted to talk about playing the character of Trevathan.
Now, this is an actor I know.
Trevathan is William H. Macy, of course, most famous for being in, would you say Fargo? Would you say that's his biggest movie?
I would say Smallville? Shameless would be the most popular thing he is in at the
moment.
I'm
talking movie-wise. Not TV shows.
Jurassic Park.
Yes, Jurassic Park 3.
I mean, he was in Mystery Men. I loved him in Mystery Men. Yeah.
But his biggest movie, what do you think his biggest
Boogie
movie?
Night.
Boogie Night's great example. His biggest movie, I'd
he's
probably
one of
say.
These character actors that he doesn't have it like a big movie, but everybody has a movie, a William H. Macy movie that they remember him off.
Well, like I said, I think Fargo was his biggest movie.
Yeah, Fargo. Modern audiences would know him from Shameless.
Of course, yeah. Well, I brought up Freya Allen before and how she was in Witches. So, yeah, of course. Yeah, great examples. So, he is playing a human located somewhere in Proxima Caesar's clan.
Right.
That tells us nothing. And he's in none of the trailers, so I don't know how much we should focus on him.
He's not. And maybe he's going to be like a wormy kind of advisor to Caesar. Maybe.
I think I've worked it out.
Right.
Just in that little moment then, I think I've worked it out. I think, of course, you're casting William H. Macy, so he's not going to be scratching around and going like, hoo, hoo, hoo.
Yep.
You wouldn't get this actor to do that. So,
nope.
I think quite like May, he's going to have the same level of intelligence that she does.
Absolutely.
And presumably, Proximus came across this guy and captured him, and he's the one who's sort of given the information of there's these places, there's like these big military compounds, for example, where they store all these weapons.
I'll help you.
And if you, and Proximus is basically forcing him to give this information.
Yes.
And potentially Proximus is learning stuff about humankind that he didn't know before, which is giving him an edge and sort of pushing him to be like this big conqueror.
Yeah, through Macy.
Through Macy. Through the information that Macy...
Trevathan or whatever his name is.
And here you go.
Yeah.
Here you go. One of May's agendas is she's trying to rescue this person because they're from the same place.
Or related.
Or related. Maybe it's her...
That's her father.
Or grandfather.
Yeah.
Could be her father, but he's getting on a bit. Good old William H. Macy.
He could be father.
Yeah, they could be.
I think
we like to keep it as simple as possible these days in our predictions. So, just saying they're related, father-daughter is a real simple connection there.
Yep. So, you think he's going to be another good guy, not a nefarious bad guy, the bad human on that side.
Yes.
Freya's good human on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's trying to rescue him. That's part of her agenda.
Absolutely.
And to kill Caesar.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that would be part of it.
It's less confusing just to call him Proximus.
Because agenda seems like there's something sort of nefarious that she wants to do that's going to betray Noah's trust.
Well, yeah, they said that she has her own sort of agenda, which is like important to the future of humankind.
Yes.
So, I think because we're presuming both her and William H. Macy's character, what was it, Trevathan, aren't affected by this virus. Obviously, they have some sort of solution that can potentially help people get past this virus.
Yeah.
Or they can have the human race go back to how they were.
Yeah, they could do something to the apes that make them de-evolve.
Well, I think that's too malicious. So,
but, you know,
the apes are our heroes, so we wouldn't be rooting for that to happen.
Yeah, but if you're a human and if you've been living under the oppressive boot of the apes, then maybe you'd want to do that. Maybe there's some kind of commentary there.
I think
that gets a little bit too complicated.
Yeah, that's too complicated. And again, our heroes wouldn't go for that. Because you've got to remember, our heroes are the apes, not the humans.
Yeah.
And we're not rooting for the apes to go back to how things were because they were being mistreated. So, I think, like I said, you don't have to agree with everything I say. I think it's just cleaner because obviously, they're not affected by the virus. So, they're doing something and they've got to continue on.
To do it for more humans, yeah.
They've got to help the human race out by, you know, being able to share whatever it is that they've done to avoid, you know, succumbing to this virus.
Yep. Sounds good.
Yeah. And, you know, we can really nut it out. But I just wanted to mention that Travis Jeffrey is playing Anya and Lydia Peckham is playing Suna and Neil Sandilands is playing Koro.
And they're all, well, two of them are friends of Noah and one of them is an elder.
All three are from Noah's tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not really worth diving into them because they're not in any of the trailers.
Nope.
And
they may die.
Well, they're not going to die. I know that. But, all right. Yeah, I don't know why I'm being so coy here, but I'm just maybe punishing Matty D a little bit for not doing all the research he could have done. But anyway, let's get into what we think is going to happen in the plot.
Go.
And we've actually got plenty of time because we didn't spend so long talking about, like, all these human characters.
Let's go.
We can go straight into it. So, we know that this movie is set 300 years after the events of the previous movie.
Yes.
So, wipe those other movies from your mind. The only thing that's staying over is that people are aware of Caesar's rule and the impacts are still being felt by that 300 later.
He's like a legend.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's seen as a legend. He was seen as this great leader and he's seen as the figure who made apes the what they are today.
Yeah. I don't know. This is so bad for me because, like, I'm going to say something and one of the trailers might absolutely, you know, go against what I'm about to say. But I think this movie's going to start with a childhood flashback where they're retelling the story of Caesar. And through that,
we've had three movies that come
out. Yeah, but we can catch everybody up on those three movies. You know what I mean? Imagine this. Imagine, like, a bunch of apes, maybe Noah, a young Noah, being told by one of the elders, because one of the elders is cast, being told, like, the history of humans, the history of apes in a very, very loose way, and it catches everybody up with what's going on, what happened in the last three movies.
That is a brilliant idea, Matty D. It has been years since the last movie came out, so why not? That's a great idea. Yeah, why don't we start with a childhood flashback?
It's our thing. So
with Noah being told by Korg, you know?
Yes.
From dad bod to ape bod.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm imagining baby Caesar, like, in a little working harness, out. With a little harness as a, like, a really dodgy looking CGI baby strapped to, like, his mother's chest and she's running into battle. Yep.
It worked before.
I think we need to be caught up with all this information. So I think that's a good idea. And I don't think the apes are really aware of what happened to the people. It's been so long that that's just what people are like.
Yeah. Well, we see in the trailer, and I think it's going to be part of the exploration of Noah and some of the other apes. They sort of find out what these humans did. They come across a picture book at one stage where they're flipping through and they're hearing all these stories about the humans used to be. So,
well, yeah, I think Raka has that information.
Yes.
And I think that information has been given to Proximus as well.
Yes.
Potentially by... Who was it? Trevathan.
By Trev, yeah.
Trev. Let's just call him Trev. Yeah, that's a great idea. William H. Macy's character, Trev. Yeah, I think they've received this information. I think Raka is sort of going to be like a traveling sort of wise man.
Yeah, definitely.
Who, you know, he's like a scholar in a way, and he has all this information that Noah is not privy to. But let's get to Noah first.
Right.
So, the thing that we've already worked out that Noah has his own. So, he has a tribe that's in the sort of in the forest. So, he has a forest tribe and they have sort of very rudimentary structures made of like wood, leaves. It's very much like you'd imagine, you know, like a Bronze Age village in the jungle, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm sort of belaboring the point.
Like
so much.
Like those creatures in Star Wars,
the Ewoks.
Yes.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, pretty much exactly like that. Or if you want to go nerdier, like the families on Kashyyyk.
What? What are they?
Wookiees.
Okay. Hey, like the holiday special.
Yep, there you
gotcha,
go.
Gotcha, gotcha.
And episode 3. But yes, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Just to divulge for a second, I always thought it was really cool that when we see Kashyyyk in episode 3 of Star Wars, that they have the exact same design as the structures in the holiday special.
It's a nice little callback there.
Yeah.
I didn't think they'd ever call back to anything in that holiday special. I thought they just wanted to remove themselves far away from that as possible.
Well, it was a cute reference, wasn't it? But anyway, back to this movie.
Just be careful of the ledge. Ledge is dangerous.
Yes. Just don't walk on the ledge like an idiot. Anyway, back to this movie. So, I think we're going to be introduced to Noah's tribe and see that these are like a peaceful clan, essentially. A peaceful group of apes. And I think we already established, that Noah is a hunter. He's a gatherer, presumably. He's considered like one of the strong members of the tribe.
Yep.
And so after this introduction, we've got to have a little bit of like, and we see a little bit of action from maybe from the previous movies in the flashback.
Yes.
But once we sort of launch into the movie proper, it's peace. It's times are peaceful.
Yeah. Going out on hunting trips.
Going out on hunting trips.
There's a little bit of semi-action that happens, like you're chasing down an animal or something.
Or humans. Yeah.
Would you introduce humans at this stage, though?
Maybe, like, humans are like pests. You know what I mean? Like, they cause problems and they sort of, sort of competing for resources in a way, like food and resources with these apes. Yep. And so,
they've got like a little thing that's like a scare human that's set up in the crop field. It's like, my scare human fell down.
Yeah. So, I don't think they're actively going out and killing the humans, but I like the idea of like they're trying to control them in a way. You know, like...
shoo them away.
Sort of keep them out of certain areas and trap them if need be and then release them out in the wild. And Noah and his tribes, people just see humans as like, oh, they're stupid, they're pests.
Yeah.
And it's just something we have to deal with. They're like crows. Yeah. As a farmer, you've made the joke about a scare human before, but yeah. Yeah, I like that because we understand from the trailers, and I don't know if you picked this up in the trailer you saw, Noah originally is under the impression, like he says, apes have always hunted humans, but now I see that that's wrong. Like, he comes around to the idea, like, humans are more than he always thought they were.
Yeah, and that's going to be his journey, right? That's going to be towards the end of the movie.
That's right.
And probably in a confrontation with Proximus.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. So, we have to get to the attack, right?
Yes.
So, I don't know if anything's going to happen before the attack, if Proximus's people are going to approach Noah and his tribe and try and make some sort of deal, and they just don't agree with it, and then this is leads to, like, the...
Why do you think the attack happens? Do you think it's just a... Because I thought it was just a conquering thing. So,
Proximus, I believe it is.
To conquer everybody. And if that's the case, he wouldn't negotiate with Noah's tribe.
Well, maybe they come in and do the thing of like, or join us or, you know... Or not die, but join us or we're going to take you by force.
Yeah, I actually like that. I like that. That's a good little bit of dramatic tension, right?
Yeah.
Apes roll in. They're all, you know, armored and intimidating.
They have electrical weapons.
You get that Rebel Moon, you know, style introduction there.
You're talking like people have seen Rebel Moon. I know you've seen it.
It's a fairly recent reference.
Yeah, but, you know, I would have picked something that people were watching. I think the second one's about to come out, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, we didn't cover it on this show.
No, we did not.
That means to me no one's seen it.
Yes.
Except Manny D.
Except me. I went out and watched it. You did too, right?
No, of course not.
Oh.
Why would I have any interest in watching that?
All right, fair enough. But anyway,
I've been hurt by Army of the Dead, and now I don't trust Zack Snyder anymore.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I think that's a good idea, and I'm glad you agree with me. Like, they roll in, and they've got these sort of advanced weapons that they've put together, and they're like,
look. And it won't be Proximus, but it'll be like...
Yeah, his proxies. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
That works on so many levels.
It'll be like, join us or die.
Yeah, join us or we'll take you by force. Of course, Noah and his people are going to be like,
we're a peaceful tribe of apes. Yeah. We don't do war.
Yeah. And they're not going to agree to this. They're like, you know, we're not going to bow down to anybody else.
Nope.
We're happy as we are. And then they're like, all right, we're going to be back tonight with pitchforks and torches. And the village is going to be burnt down. And all of your people are going to be captured.
Yep.
The only person who isn't captured in the whole conflict is Noah.
Yes.
Who fights back. But
I mean, he is a hunter. So, maybe he's out by the when the tribe is attacked.
We see that he's beaten up.
Okay.
So,
you saw that. Yes. I did not see that.
Yes.
So, he gets beaten up
he's knocked out.
They burn his head.
They presume that he's dead, but then when he comes to, everyone has been taken away by force. So, they've all been captured and taken to Proximus's kingdom.
Right. Cool. Great. So, that's what happens. And Noah is alive.
Noah is the only one who can save his people. So, he sets out on the journey. He goes out on horseback. I love that they ride around on horses.
It is funny, right?
That's classic Planet of the Apes. So, I'm so glad that they're returning to that. They did that in the last movie anyway. So, he sets out on horseback in an attempt to go and confront Proximus and...
On the way.
And rescue his village, of course. And then on the way, he comes across Raka.
Yes.
Who is a traveling sort of wise man. And Raka, of course, starts to fill him in. You know, humans used to be the dominant species on the planet. And are you familiar with evolution? Blah, 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 blah.
So, he gets this information at this point. Do you not think-
Around this point, in their travels.
The humans first?
Well, we've already had humans established.
Meet Freya at this point.
So, Freya meets both Raka and Noah after the two have met. So, we've got to establish them having a connection before we get to Freya.
Yeah.
Her name's May.
Right. Yeah, sounds good. So, meets Raka. Raka fills in.
Yeah, they have a connection. Raka decides to help him.
A bit eccentric, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, why not? Now, something as well, and again, you would have had to have watched all the same stuff I did to get this, but Noah has this, either it's a blue blanket or it's a some kind of like poncho or jumper slash sweater type thing that he carries around with him everywhere he goes, and it's important to him.
Yep. Is it a comforter?
Maybe. I think he might have, maybe he has like a lady friend. We know that there's, you know, other people, yes, female friends that he has. Maybe he has somewhat of a romance with, say, for example, Suna.
Right.
He has a relationship with Suna and they have this connection. Maybe it was something that belonged to her. Maybe it was something that she wore.
I like that. That's sweet. That's part of him. His journey is trying to find.
And that was what was left behind.
Yeah.
What was left behind when everyone was captured. He finds this blanket. And so, he takes it with him as sort of like what's driving him.
Yep.
Like, sort of like a physical representation of what's driving him to go and rescue his people.
Yeah, I like it.
And yeah, so we're going to have plenty of fireside chats as well.
Of course. We love those fireside chats.
Campfire chats, which you're always trying to work into movies. Now we can finally do it successfully.
I think it's fitting for this movie.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we see that, how are we going to introduce May? How are we going to introduce
May's going to attack Noah. An idea. I don't know.
How come?
Just defensively, maybe May is robbing Raka and Noah.
Maybe she tried. I've got to
steal their horses.
On that point, maybe she's out in the wilderness. She's starving.
Yeah.
She's cold. Let's say that Noah and Raka, they're sitting by a campfire, they're connecting, they're chatting, they're eating.
Yeah.
She's starving. She potentially tries to steal their food.
Yes.
And they sort of grab her and are like, you know, don't steal our food.
And when she talks, they go,
well, this takes a while.
You can talk.
Yeah, they sort of keep her around. You know what I mean? Like, she's sort of there at the campfire, but not sitting with them. She's freezing cold.
Yep.
And then Raka says, look, give her the blanket. We don't need the blanket. Give her the blanket. And Noah says, well, no, it's important to me. Mm-hmm. But Raka wants to show this human, because he has this deeper understanding of humans. He knows what they were like. He has this kindness towards them. This is eventually what turns Noah back onto the human side, or being more empathetic towards them. Raka says, look, it's a good way of showing connection with them.
Oh, and it's just the nice and right thing to do.
Nice thing to do. And of course, Noah agrees. They toss her the blanket and she's able to warm herself. And then they decide to call her Nova, because that's what they call all human women. And it's a reference to 1968 movie. But to their surprise, after calling her Nova for a couple of hours, May suddenly says, no, I have a name and it's May.
Right. And I guess that's in the trailer, the reveal. Is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I would have loved to have gotten your like full impression of what the plot was going to be.
Well, before I remembered that we had a joint prediction, I was writing my own prediction for this. So, that would have been interesting.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Maybe we should have done separate episodes for this one. But no, I don't need that victory, do I?
Okay.
Because you would have been wrong from the lack of information that you seem to have.
You never know, right? Like, we did well with the kitchen and things like that, so.
But if I have more details than you and you're just making stuff up, then it's obvious who's going to be closer at the end.
Which is why I'm glad we're working together. Yeah. So.
This is fair.
So, she says, my name is May.
That's right. I have a name and it's May, and this is the, like, shit. She can speak. We've never come across a human that's been able to speak before. And, of course, this is a direct reference to the original 1968 movie where Charlton Heston is the first ever human that the apes have seen talk.
Now, do you think that scenes like this are happening simultaneously with Proximus and William H. Macy with Trev? Do we see that going on?
I don't think we're going to see Proximus until they get to
the coastal area?
The coastal.
Okay.
Because they live in, like, a big ship. So, Proximus, he's converted this giant sort of almost like oil tanker into a kingdom.
Cool.
And again, just showing while Noah has, like, they're using natural resources to build their kingdom. He's taking human technology and then working that to his advantage.
Yes.
Look at us discussing thematic things in the story. So, let's make a long story short.
Sure.
I think there's going to be another group of people, like another group of humans, and May will be caught up in, like, a group of apes attempting to come up and round. So, a group of Proximus's apes coming in and attempting to round up all the humans. And then we find out as well that in all this chaos, these Proximus apes have realized, like, they realize that, well, Noah and Raka realize, hold on, they're specifically looking for
May.
May. And why are they specifically looking for this person?
Because she's special. She can talk.
She's special. And also, she might have information that Trev might not be giving them.
Yeah.
They're like, this would be good leverage. So, Trev isn't telling us. If we get leverage on Trev, this is just me spitballing here.
Yeah, I like it.
If we get leverage on Trev by getting another one who's, you know, another one of these special people.
Then we don't need Trev anymore.
We don't need Trev anymore.
And we get what we
we'll
what
be
we
able
need.
To get, like, we'll be able to get that big cache of weapons that we keep imagining thereafter.
And also to the ape that catches May, they're in good esteem with Proximus.
Oh, absolutely. We've got one of those guerrilla generals, of course.
Because I think all the apes will, well, they hate all humans, but they'll hate, correct. Well, the bad guy apes I'm talking about, will hate all humans, but they'll hate Trev. They'll hate that Trev's got himself into a position where he's close to Proximus. Do you think or no?
I think he's there under distress. I don't think he's actively helping them, but he's given them information that they didn't have before, but he's being mum because he's like, well, if these apes get their hands on weapons, it's going to be disastrous for everybody.
Right.
And he's like, if you, well, you can kill me if you want, but you're never going to get this information.
Yep. So they're like,
but if they have leverage on her, if they have leverage on Trev, then he's more likely to give them the information. Yep. So they want to get May. I feel like this is coming together so well.
Yeah. I think this is the movie.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I think during this whole conflict of, like, the humans being, you know, rounded up and the evil apes going after May, I think this is a good point to kill off Raka.
Mm-hmm.
I think Raka will be killed off because Noah comes back from presumably scouting ahead or gathering resources. He comes back and he can't find Raka, he can't find May. He's calling out to them, can't find them. And that's when he sees that May is being pursued by a group of, like, guerrilla generals.
Yep.
And then realizes that he has to save her. Because I guess they've had a conversation at this point. Maybe she knows, like, she knows where the location of this kingdom is.
Do you think she reveals it to Noah at this point?
Yeah, and so Noah doesn't really know where it is. And so he's been traveling with Raka to try and find it. She knows where it is, so they need her to help find the kingdom.
Well, I guess it's like, why do they want you? Why are they pursuing you? And then she can be like, look, I know about da 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 da.
Yeah, exactly. So, in order to get his tribe's people back, Noah needs May to help guide him to this kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
She knows where it is because of circumstances.
She escaped.
Circumstances. So, she's from the same place as William H. Macy. Trev. Trev has been captured. She wants to get Trev back because he's important to whatever it is they're doing. They might have some sort of antidote that corrects the virus in order for humans to not be sort of wiped out by all of the apes.
Yeah.
They need to have people be intelligent again. So.
Yes.
Yeah, she's looking to help the humans recover back to what they were. And I guess Noah could be a little bit standoffish towards that. It's just like, well, if humans get smart again, what's going to stop them from overthrowing us? But then he realizes, well, otherwise they're going to be wiped out. This is ultimately the right thing to do because it's about balance. Because without
it's about equality.
Yeah.
Both apes and humans being equal and being, you know, to their capacity.
Yeah, and the ecosystem will suffer if humans aren't around.
Yes.
Because they make nice fertilizer when they're dropping loads in our fields.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think Raka will be killed.
Yep.
Both May and Noah will be captured and then brought to the kingdom.
Love that.
And this is where we get to meet Proximus for the first time. I sort of see him as like an Immortan Joe from Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, right.
Like an Immortan Joe.
Like, where did I hear that name before? But
esque tyrannical king who
comes out. Big, flamboyant in his own way, gluttonous, corrupt.
Everyone worships him.
Yes.
So, he's sort of like a perverted version of Caesar. So, he's named himself after Caesar because he sees himself as like a similar figure.
But he's not.
Whereas Caesar was like a just leader and a good king. This guy's the opposite. So, he's using Caesar's learnings to manipulate people. And so, in order for him to expand and conquer and rule the world, rule the ape world, basically.
You compared him to Scar King, and I think that's a good comparison. I think it's going to be very much the same thing.
Yeah. Well, we weren't 100% on Scar King's character.
Really?
Yeah. We had a lot of elements that didn't work their way into the movie.
Like what? I know this is for another episode, but...
We'll let the audience decide when they see the movie. But, we thought it was going to be way more complicated than it actually was.
Right.
And we thought the movie was going to be longer than it was. But anyway... Anyway,
if he was a flat bad guy, I guess I was right.
Yeah, well, yes.
yes. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, this is where we meet Proximus, and then this is where Noah and potentially, I guess, May as well learn that he has all this information about humans. He's aware of like the weapons humans had, And, like, ultimately, his big plan is revealed. And then Proximus, I'm guessing, is, like, concerned that Noah is more supportive of humans than he is of, you know, ape kind.
And that's where this dialogue will happen, right?
Yeah.
Where Noah will reveal that, like, it's wrong to hurt humans. It's wrong to kill humans.
He's realized more about humans in these last couple of days.
He's had a journey. He's woke now.
Yeah. And, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Proximus is like, why would you betray your own kind for humans? Uh-huh. They you know, they need to be wiped out, or, you know,
they're pests.
They're pests.
They eat my crops.
Exactly. Yeah. They eat our food. They steal our fish.
Yep.
They're a nuisance. They're like kangaroos.
They enslaved apes.
That's right.
Ah.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, obviously Noah's not agree with that. And this is where the big conflict happens.
The big fight scene, right?
And this will lead us, of course, up to our big battle. And this is, we're jumping straight to the climax here. And how do you think this
just
is
like
going to go
down? Like my love life, huh?
How do you think this is going to go down? I think, I just got that. I almost missed that one.
Yes, let's keep going. Yes.
Yeah, so I think, obviously, we're going to have a bit more conflict here and a bit more drive to the plot. So, I think I keep going to call him Scar King. They're the same character. I think Proximus is going to, you know, get what he wants. He's going to use May as leverage against Trav.
Good old Trev is going to give
the information which leads them to wherever these...
With tears in his eyes and remorseful, yes.
So, this leads us to the facility where the guns are being stored, presumably.
Absolutely. I agree.
You know, it looks like good old Proximus is going to get his hands on some military-grade weapons. But I think, simultaneously, Noah will be able to release his people, be able to rally, I guess, in a way, you can rally the apes to fight against...
There's a war.
Proximus, and we just have a big battle of our bad guy apes against, you know, Noah leading an army of good guy apes, essentially.
Yep, and they're outnumbered. The bad guy apes are stronger, but
yeah.
Would the humans be involved in this final conflict?
Oh, not really. I don't think so.
No?
I think May and possibly Trev as well. Maybe Trev is killed out of retribution.
Trev is going to be killed.
Yeah.
I do think that.
Because once he gives the information, they're like, well, you've outlived your usefulness. Dead.
Killed. And that's going to be a huge thing for May. She's going to be like, oh, no, my relative.
Father. Yeah. Relative.
And also, as well, like, it throws a spanner in the works of their plan.
Yeah. So, I think she's going to be helping out good old Noah as much as she can.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, you know, everything is just has been a waste of time.
This huge fight happens.
Yeah.
They win.
I had just this great mental image just then. Wouldn't it be great if, like, they're fighting over guns, or, like, maybe they even get into a gunfight, as in Noah and Proximus get into a gunfight, and ultimately Noah shoots and kills Proximus with a gun, but then he sort of afterwards he looks at it and then throws it aside and sort of rejects the idea of guns.
Can I add on to your idea?
Yeah.
That happens, and then in some capacity, the gun fires and shoots his girlfriend.
I think that's a little bit too dramatic.
You think so? Yeah. Lesson learned that
we've already lost Raka, so...
Okay, we're killing off everybody in this movie. Okay.
We've got to bring people back for a sequel, you realize.
Otherwise, I'm happy with that. I like that idea, like, throw away the gun.
Yeah,
he
rejects the gun. He's going to be a good king, and then he could even potentially take over as ruler.
Yes,
King Kong style.
Well, I mean, who else is going to be the ruler?
Yeah, exactly.
The king is dead, maybe all the other apes, like every other monster movie seems to be, like, they all bow to Noah.
Of course. Now, and then, of course, through Raka's teachings,
yes,
Noah has learnt what Caesar is really about, what, you know, the original Caesar is really about, and then, so he knows how to rule as, like, a true king.
And he says apes and humans can live together.
That's right.
Rada, rada, rada.
And May is free to go back to wherever she came from, presumably where they were at, where they were invading, was where she comes from.
Does May go to complete her plan to get this virus out there?
Yeah, I think they're taking steps.
Okay, so that's going to be a plot thread for another movie.
Yeah, if they want to continue this storyline, which, you know, this has been picked up by Disney now, we've gone from Fox to Disney, so Disney will want this to continue as a franchise.
Okay,
so.
Well, then Noah can just be like, look, you know, I give you my blessing, you go off and save the human race, it's important for everybody that everybody is good, la 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 la.
I tell you what
rainbows
I really want.
Rainbows and butterflies, yes.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, but I tell you what I really, really want as a post-credit scene, or, like, even a mid-credit scene.
Sure.
I want the spaceship that took off in that first movie to finally land.
You know what? That will happen, but it won't happen in this movie. That will happen.
I think that it would be a good credit scene, like a post-credit scene setting up for the next movie.
Yeah, but the rocket ship needs... I guess now is a good time for that, right? Like, we've gotten to the point where humans have devolved to the point of those original movies.
We're almost set up perfectly for that original movie.
Yeah, okay.
Timeline-wise.
Okay. Yeah,
so
sure.
If we finally have that storyline pay off.
Do that payoff. And then I think Disney are looking at that like, yeah, we would like to tell the story of the original Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, and then that leaves them free. The next movie will be... Planet of the Apes,
yeah.
It'll be the second remake.
It'll be a reboot of, yeah, it'll, yeah, remake.
But
it ties
directly into this reboot series.
Mm-hmm. Nice and cleanly.
Yeah, look at that.
Unless this movie is not successful and then they'll just bin it, but.
Well, no, if the movie's not successful, then they can say, oh, this is setting up perfectly to that 1968 movie.
Yes.
You know, this is just a prequel to that.
Nice and clean. Well, I like it. I think that's going to be pretty much the movie.
Yeah, me too. I think this one was easy for us because it's
it was easy for me.
Yeah,
I feel like I was the uni student on the project that spent all night just smoking weed. And like, so what are we presenting? Yeah, yeah. I agree with what he said. Yeah, absolutely. Just write up the whole report, will you? And I'll look over it.
In all fairness, you're probably going to be on the right track either way because I think the plot of this movie, the impression I'm getting is that it's fairly straightforward.
I think so. And usually these movies are, right? Like these movies have that philosophy and themes in the movie embedded in it and it's going to be a spectacle, but the actual plot itself won't be anything too crazy.
And I've seen at least 8 of these movies now, so it's not like they go off the beaten path.
Unless it's a Tim Burton movie because that one goes a little crazy.
Oh, boy. What was his name? Was it Tim Roth? Not Tim.
It was Tim Roth in the movie. He might have been.
It was Tim Roth. Tim Roth plays the villain in that movie. Oh,
okay.
My God.
Well, all I remember of that movie is at the end, they've got like Abraham Lincoln as a monkey.
And it's Tim Roth's character.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Abraham Lincoln. I think you'll find. But yeah, we're not talking about that movie. We're talking about this movie, which has all the potential to be a better movie that we might actually enjoy. But don't hold your breath.
Good try.
So, do you, the dear listener, have any ideas of what you think is going to happen in Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes?
Are you excited about the movie? Are you a fan of this franchise?
Yes. And you can let us know your thoughts in several places. You can send us an email at potentialspoilerspod@gmail.com. Now, on that point, I was being very neglectful of that email inbox, and I totally missed that one of our listeners, Luke, had sent us in a plot that he'd come up with. So, I want to apologize. Hopefully, Luke, you're listening to this episode. I want to apologize for getting to his email so late, because usually I'm on top of that stuff and I can reply, but this one totally slipped under the filing cabinet. So, yeah, sorry, Luke.
But it was a good plot.
It was a good plot. We both read it.
We enjoyed it, and we like the Warriors, so...
Yeah.
We love that.
I like that we're speaking just to one specific listener now. So, yeah, I don't want to discourage anybody else from sending stuff in.
Yes.
We will get to it
eventually.
Yeah, so you can also leave us a comment on this episode's page on our Podbean site. I look at those comments every week, so I won't miss those. Or you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I promise that I look at the Facebook, so you can catch us there. Manny D handles the other
two. I look at the Twitter and the Instagram.
Yeah, I trust you.
Or the X.
Yes. Anyway, you can let us know your thoughts in several places, what you think is going to happen. Now, before we wrap it up for another week, I have nothing but bad news for Matty D, because next week we're doing a double feature. We're doing an actual spoilers double feature where we go back and we look at two movies that we've covered in the past, two movies we predicted in the past, and we're going to see how close we got to predicting them.
Yeah, where we're at.
How close we got to the actual plot. And next week, Matty D, if you're hyped to see a movie about like CGI animals getting into tussles with people,
and
you're going to be...
not.
You're going to be super hyped for next week because we're going to cover what we call the most forgettable movie of 2022 when we talk about Beast.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
I forgot we covered that movie until it came up on the schedule. And we're also... it's not all bad news, Matty D, but it is certainly bad news for me because we're also looking at Hocus Pocus 2.
Okay. Which you said was one of the worst movies of 2022.
Yes. And you said it was alongside Beast... one of the most forgettable movies of 2022. So
yeah, fun times for us.
We're in for a rough time next week.
I really don't want to watch Beast, man.
I don't want to watch either movie, man. At least they're both short. At least
that's true.
They're both under 2 hours.
That's true.
So we've got that to look forward to. But yeah, so we haven't really done a good job selling the concept to people, but please join us next week when we're going to explore how well we do.
We can sell it like this. We have opinions on those movies.
Oh, yes, we do.
And we need to vent about what our feelings of those movies are. Now, maybe we'll watch them and have a completely different view of them.
Maybe.
Maybe I've grown in my filming, you know, capacity and I enjoy Beast now.
Maybe
it's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch Expendables 4. Right before Hocus Pocus 2, and it'll actually be funny.
Dude, that's what you got to do with every single movie. Watch Expendables 4, Antebellum, yes. And then just go into the movie, and you'll
like,
have the best experience ever.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Watch Eternals again, but watch Expendables 4 before then. Then we can both like Eternals.
I don't know if that's going to work. But anyway, yeah.
All right, maybe Antebellum and Expendables. But yes, we'll cover those two movies next week.
Yes, so until we return for that.
We'll see you then.
You maniacs! You blew it up! Oh, damn you! God damn you all to hell!
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Oh, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
What's wrong with me?
I think you're crazy.
Want a second opinion?
You're all so lazy.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Oh, Dr. Zaius.